Welcome to Career Tours. This week, culture shock. This quest answers these questions. What is culture shock? How do I avoid culture shock? And what do I do when I feel culture shock? Culture shock is a very real phenomenon. I should not put that word in the show notes, should I? I should have put something easier in. But I know it's real because I felt it when I have lived abroad. So it can happen if you're going on a trip of just a couple of weeks. I know when I did exchange things when I was a student, I had culture shock as badly then as I have when I've known that I was moving somewhere for the foreseeable future. And it's this feeling of being in a situation that's so different to what you know that you just feel overwhelmed and just unable to take in all of the sounds, all of the sights, everything that's going on around you just feels like overload. And it can be quite debilitating if you are standing in the supermarket and it's happening to you and you're completely overwhelmed. You can't move. You can't get to out of the supermarket to your car, and when you get in the car you don't feel like you can drive anywhere because you don't know any of the roads or anything. It's a horrible feeling, and unfortunately it's to be expected, but there's some things you can do to make it better. So we're going to talk about being prepared, asking for help, finding new favorites, and not using home as a crutch.
For me, Wendy, when I travel internationally abroad, even when I just travel in the state, sometimes just going from state to state can be very different. But the things that always take me by surprise when it comes to culture shock are the things that I'm not prepared for, the things that I didn't think about. I mentioned to you yesterday when you and I were talking about recording this cast that even just billboards look differently. Different fonts are used on signs and on packaging. And when you add those small things that you don't even think about to all of the other things that you're experiencing, it can be very overwhelming and just adds to that feeling of nothing is familiar. It all looks different. I don't know how to behave because nothing looks like I'm used to it looking. Mm-hmm. And then you end up just kind of feeling that paralyzed feeling.
Yeah, it's all the little things, always.
So it's pretty common. I mean, you said it can happen if you're only in a new country for a couple of weeks, or if you've gone there to live for a year, or if you're going to be living abroad for several years. It doesn't matter how long you're going to be in the place that you're going to.
It doesn't seem to, because your brain doesn't know, right? Your brain is just standing there going, there's too much input. It has no idea if you're going to be there for a week or forever. So it'll react the same if it gets too much input.
And like I said, it doesn't even always involve going from one country to another. It can involve just within your country, for example, here in the States, just moving from one state to another, or in Canada, from one province to another, one part of the country that you've lived in your whole life. I've moved several times in the States. I think that I'm now living in the sixth state that I've lived in the U.S., and even though it's all American, things are very different, which is one of the things I like to talk to folks when I do our international conferences is I'll often draw the parallel of, you guys think of American culture as all just being the same, we're all Americans, but even within America, there's significant differences in the food, in how people talk, and the things they talk about.
Yeah, I bet moving from Pennsylvania and now living in Arkansas is quite different.
Yes. In Pennsylvania, on New Year's Day, we eat pork and sauerkraut. In Arkansas, we eat black-eyed peas.
It's always about the food.
But those are the things those small differences that you don't always think about. I remember the first time in Arkansas where I said, oh, we're going to have pork and sauerkraut. And everybody in the room looked at me like I had three hands.
Yeah. And it can be worse if you're in the States, because people They have less forgiveness for you. Whereas for me, if I say something that's completely out of what people expect me to say, they go, oh, she's English. Like, it's probably an English thing. But in the States, if you move from one state to another, they kind of expect you to talk the same way and to expect the same things. And sometimes that can be worse than moving to a different country.
And you got the whole English accent thing going, which just makes you sound smarter all the time anyway.
It's all an illusion.
So it's possible, though, that not everybody will get culture shock, right? Not everybody's going to experience it. But if you do and you're not prepared, it's going to be a lot worse. Before I go on any international trip to a country that I haven't been to before, I always make sure to chat with Mark, chat with Wendy, because you guys have done so much more international travel than I have, and just ask you guys, what should I be prepared for? Because being prepared helps you to deal with it better in the moment and to recognize this is what's happening. And I always hear, you know, Mark and Wendy in my head, they told me it would be okay. So that helps.
Yes. And like you said earlier, it's the little things that matter. So think about the things that are necessary to your daily life, the things that you do all of the time. And think about those things and either take them with you or find out how they're done differently in the country that you're going to. For example, headache tablets. There is nothing worse, and I can tell you from experience, trying to get headache tablets when you've already got a headache and you don't know what any of the drug names are. And you're trying to ask for paracetamol and the girl's just looking at you completely as if she's never heard the word before, which of course she hasn't. Yeah. Exactly. You've got a headache, nothing's the same, it's really noisy, and now you can't get pills for it. It's just awful.
Yeah, if you have an illness which is going to inhibit your ability to communicate, ask someone to write a note for you, to write it down so that other people can read it and can help you. If you have a sensitive digestive system, be prepared for change in water source. There's going to be differences in cuisines. And so be prepared for that and think accordingly about what you might want to bring from home to help you through that, or how you're going to deal with it if you're not going to bring something from home.
Yeah. And set up Skype or another communication system, whatever. I like Skype because it's free, but another communication system so that you'll be able to have unlimited calls in the beginning. When I first moved here, I had unlimited calls to the UK, and also on my phone too, I had a UK phone plan so that I knew that at any one moment, if I needed to, I could phone my family. And it turned out I never did. I never phoned them in an emergency. It was always a planned call, but just knowing I could made a real difference to how secure I felt. But don't let communication with your family be the only communication you do. There's a real temptation to, every time you feel like talking to someone, to find someone at home to talk to, just to chat and while the time away. If you're doing that and you're not talking to anybody in the place that you're in, you'll never become adapted to that place. So watch the amount of communication that you have with family compared to the amount of communication you have with the people around you.
Cool. Our next bit is probably my favorite recommendation in this cast. It's ask for help. It took me a while to get there, to be willing to ask people for help. But now after a couple of trips, I'm completely willing to say, I'm stupid. I don't know what I need to do. And it's like just about anything in life. It's a little scary at first, but after you do it a couple times, you realize really in general, people like to feel needed. And people are really proud and like to show off their country or their hometown and help you discover all of the things that are great about and everything that they like about it. People really, for the most part, like talking about where they're from and what makes it unique and helping you learn about it. And so they'll be happy to give you suggestions about where you should go or what you should see, where you should eat. And often they'll offer to help you get there. I've asked people for help about some of the craziest things, just stuff like, how does the washing machine work? I didn't have to do this one, Wendy, but I'm sure when you move to the States, right, where do you go to get a driver's license and how does that all work? Right? What's all the food that looks different? One of my favorite experiences was the last time I went to the UK, which was just a couple weeks ago. One of the friends of our firm, Rowley Mags, Hey, Rowley. He took me to, what was the name of the store?
Sainsbury's.
Yes. And we just walked around the grocery store for about 20 minutes. I picked up a bunch of biscuits to bring home, but just figuring out all and learning about all the difference and I got to learn, I had to learn the difference between a cookie and a biscuit and all that kind of good stuff. So if you feel stupid, that was probably for me, Wendy, was the thing that I had to get over was other people don't generally think that you're stupid, right? It's the voice in your head that's saying, oh, I'm going to look stupid if I ask about this. And so I would just say, don't worry about it. Probably if you're in a different country, you'll have a different accent and that helps. All right. People obviously can always tell when I go to UK that I'm American. Although recently when I was in San Diego, I had two people ask me if I was Australian, which was very interesting.
That's weird.
Yes. That was a new one. And so the fact that you clearly don't sound like you're quote unquote from around here. And that means that people are they're gonna be more willing to help you and they're gonna be more forgiving of simple questions or things that you might feel uncomfortable asking about. And they'll want to learn more about how you do those things in the country that you're from. And so it's a great way to build a relationship with somebody because you'll have all kinds of things to talk about.
Yeah. And there's one thing I've learned is if you don't succeed, try again. Sometimes when you ask for something, people don't get what you're asking for, and you have to ask again or just be somewhere else or get another way of describing what it is you wanted. I wanted to make something that involves meringue nests. And I went to the supermarket and I asked for meringue nests, and she just looked at me really blankly. And so then I went to Mark because Mark's fairly cosmopolitan. And I said, "Hey, I'm trying to find meringue nests in the supermarket." And he said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And like a year went past, and this store opened in San Antonio that sells, amongst other things, British foods. Not the meringue nests are British. So anyway, it happened to have meringue nests. And so I took a picture and I sent it to Mark. And I said, "Look, meringue nests." And he said, "Oh, I know what those are. I thought you were saying meringue nests." Of course, he didn't know what that was because it's not even a word.
It should be a word, though.
It should be a word. Yeah, that's right. And there's lots of things where I've asked the first time and people just haven't had a clue. And then I've learned something later that helps me describe what it is, or I found a picture, or I've worked out that it's in a different department, or something like that. And then I've been able to get what I want. So don't give up the first time.
Yeah, I had an experience. I think I told you about this, Wendy, when I was in the UK last fall, where I gave up after the first time. I went into a pub and it wasn't quite dinner time, but it was close and I was really hungry. So I asked, "Can I please get some food?" And I ended up with a cup of tea, which was lovely, but I was really hungry because I hadn't eaten since about 8 o'clock in the morning and it was about 4:30 in the afternoon. And when I shared that story with you, Wendy, you said, you don't say, "Can I get some?"
Yeah, I think you'd said, "Can I get something to eat?"
Yes, can I get something to eat?
And the way you say it and the accent, I think he heard, "Can I get some tea?"
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of the time I ended up with something that I didn't think I'd ordered, and it's just part of the adventure.
It
And
is.
yeah.
And I have since told that story probably 20 times. So it is part of the adventure. It gives you great stories to tell people.
It does. And on that note, while we're just talking about things that are different and finding things, the first time you go to a grocery store, leave at least twice as long, because what you don't realize when you're shopping in your own grocery store is you know where everything is and you know the color of everything. So if you walk down the cereal aisle, the box you're looking for is a certain color and it's a certain way down the aisle. And when you go to a different country or even a different state, they're different, like they look different. And so it's much harder to find what you're looking for. Not that it's not there, but because it doesn't look familiar. So you need a lot more time.
Absolutely. And on a related note, one of the best pieces of travel advice, Wendy, you gave to me the first time I went overseas was when it all becomes too much, when it's all overwhelming and your brain needs a break, go into a Starbucks because Starbucks is Starbucks is Starbucks. So.
McDonald's, I've also done before Starbucks existed. McDonald's we used to do as well. There was a cinema, a movie theater in Germany when I lived there when I was like 20 that showed English movies in English and then subtitled in German. And so I used to go there sometimes just because your brain just needs a rest from translating the whole time.
McDonald's isn't as consistent as Starbucks.
No, it's not. It's not. But you can usually get a burger and fries.
You can, but you cannot get an iced tea in McDonald's in London like you can in the States, as we
No.
learned. If you order an iced tea, they give you a cup of hot tea and a strange look.
Why would you want that iced?
Cool. So our next piece of guidance is, and we've alluded to this, find new favorites. Find things about the place that you are that you like. There's so many great things to love about every country, and that's why people live in different countries because they want to experience all of the different things. One of my favorite things, I love English food, and I have a whole I love biscuits, I love Bubble and Squeak, I love banoffee pie. I mean, I learned, and again, it's all food. I like other things too, but there's always things that you can find that you'll like that you'll put on your list of favorites.
I'm a complete fan of mac and cheese now. If I want comfort food, I'll quite often order it, even though it's not a comfort food that I'm used to. But I'm willing to adopt these things, so it's fun. And it's easy to dismiss everything that's new and that's not as good. And I want this thing from home, and I don't like one of the things when I moved here that really disturbed me was where you have the road and then you have kind of parking spaces next to it and then you have like a row of stores, but you have all the telephone pylons and the electricity poles in front of them. Whereas in England, they're all buried, and
Ah.
so it makes it look a lot cleaner. And so every time I would drive around down a road like that, I just feel like I don't, it's confusing because there's all this extra stuff.
Right.
But now I've been here long enough, I kind of like the cacophony of it and the, we'll just put it here-ness of it. So even things that you don't think you like initially can grow on you if you're willing to let them
Absolutely.
and try things and be willing to fail. I can't tell you how many things I've ordered that I thought were going to be one thing that was something else entirely. And they make the best stories, as you said.
If you are unwilling to try the new things and all you can think about is, well, at home it's this, at home it's this, all that's going to do is make your homesickness go on and on. It's just going to extend the homesickness. It's going to extend the culture shock. So being willing to try something new, expect, as you said, Wendy, some of them not to work out, expect to not get what you ask for, but try new things and then you'll have good stories.
You will. The other day, I was trying to order something that was made of strawberry, and he couldn't understand me. And so I was trying to say it slower and slower, and I ended up saying strawberry, which is even less comprehensible. Never mind. And then the last point, which I think we kind of talked about, but we'll make it specific, is don't use home as a crutch. If you are calling home every night or every morning, depending on the time zone, you are probably not doing anything else with your evenings. If you are making visits home every weekend or every other weekend, you're probably not getting involved in activities in the place in which you're living. If you're only speaking whatever native tongue you have, you are probably, if there's a different language, you're probably not making friendships or developing relationships with the people that are around you. And the more you isolate yourself like that, the worse the culture shock and the homesickness gets.
Absolutely. This is why I don't know if there's still colleges that do this, but a million years ago, when I went to college, freshmen, first year students, were not allowed to have cars because they didn't want you going home every weekend. And all first year students were required to live on campus. You couldn't not live on campus because they wanted you to become a part of the community. They wanted you to make relationships at the college in that community and not have this crutch of home and your old friends from home, because it wasn't just about the classroom learning. It was about the experience of being somewhere new and having to make new bonds and new relationships and meet new people and be exposed to new things. And if you're constantly focusing and thinking about and going back to where you've come from, then that's all energy that you're not putting into and investing into where you are.
Exactly. And of course, we're not saying you have to cut all contact. Like that's the other extreme. But you just want to make sure that the majority of, even if it's like 52% because you're really homesick, the majority of your activity is connected to where you are and not to where you were. And culture shock is one of the downsides to living abroad or living overseas or living away from where you started from. But there's a million upsides. And if you're prepared for it and if you take everything with a bit of humor and don't get too worried about it, you're going to have a great time. I promise.
Totally worth it. This is one of my favorite casts, Wendy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.